Good morning, Emmanuel. We welcome you today to our service of worship here at Emmanuel, a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. This morning, we're delighted to have Reverend Norma McKeamy in the pulpit. Norma has been here several times before, and we ask that you take our best wishes back up the hill to Christchurch. Thank you for coming, and we look forward to what you have to say to us. Whether you're a regular or a visitor here today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you're listening to the recording on the internet and send you our best wishes. This morning's reading is read by Andrew Eno. Tea and coffee will be served after the service. At last week's church meeting, it was decided that the AGM should be on Sunday the 21st of April. Therefore, as several of the present serving elders are stepping down, we will need to elect others to take their places. Nominations are now being received, and forms are at the back of the church along with a list of who is eligible to stand. You can nominate any member on that list, but you do not need to be a member to nominate. You could even nominate yourself. So please take time to consider who might serve us well and submit your forms before the end of the morning service on the 17th of March. If you regularly receive a copy of Reform, you will find they are ready for collection in the chapel. As Robert is away from today until Tuesday the 5th of March, any problems or issues that arise, please speak to an elder. Please look in weekly news for more notices. And finally, we will have a few moments of silence as I light the Christ candle and the peace candle.
Big advantages of being up here is you see the people that you haven't seen for absolutely ages. So, you know, if I'm standing here and I suddenly see someone and I go, oh, that's what it's happening. So, good morning. It's really good to be back with you again. I was here sometime last year. Can't quite remember now when, but it's always good to come and share worship with you down here at Emmanuel. We've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. And so we pray, Lord, you have chosen to be our God. We have chosen to be your people. And we come to worship you now. Amen. And so let's worship God as we sing together our first hymn, number 104, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
written. And so we pray together. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. And so, loving God, we've come to worship you. Help us to remember that you are here with us. May we pray to you in faith, sing your praise with gratitude, and listen to your word with eagerness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And in this season of Lent, Heavenly Father, we also come before you, aware of our shortcomings and weaknesses. We confess that we have sinned against you in what we've thought, in what we've said, and in what we've done. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We haven't loved our neighbours as ourselves. We are truly sorry and turn away from all that is wrong. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we move on to our next hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us, which is 543. Andrew's going to read for us. Thank you, Andrew.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning from verse 31, and that is found on page 42 of the Pew Bibles. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this openly, quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father." This is the word of the Lord.
I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Being a follower isn't something that we encourage in our society. You know, if you go to a graduation ceremony, you'll never hear the Chancellor or the Vice-Chancellor congratulating the graduates on becoming the followers of tomorrow. You wouldn't hear it. Nobody makes huge biographical films about great world followers. Nobody gives awards to recognize the contributions of followers. Nobody structures their CV to highlight where they showed strong followership. Nobody's heart swells with pride when a fellow parent or a teacher comes up to them and says, "You know, your son or your daughter, they are a real follower." It just doesn't happen, does it? Don't be a follower. Be a leader. That's what our society says. Don't follow the crowd. Be a follower. Being a follower is just being weak, being passive. It's for the people who can't act or think for themselves. In fact, there's only one place I can recall where we are encouraged to be followers. Twitter, also known nowadays as X, I've discovered. Twitter or X is all about following. Now, I'm sure X is an online social networking service, and you connect with other people through choosing to follow them. That's the language that it uses. I have to say at this point, there may well be other social network platforms that also do the same thing. I am not there. If there are, forgive me, I'm just dealing with X, or Twitter, as I still call it. So if you follow something, you receive everything they say through X. So choosing who you follow actually takes a bit of thought, or it might not, but if you've got any sense about you, it would. Is this person interesting, or funny, or insightful, or even shocking? Or are they just going to tell you about what they had for breakfast? If there had been an X in the first century, Jesus probably would have been quite popular to follow. Lots of people wanted to follow him, to see what he was doing, to see what he had to say. And by the time the story in our gospel reading happens, Jesus has made quite a name for himself. He's been all over the countryside, I should say. Let's get technical about where the country is. Performing healings and exorcisms and other miracles. He's been saying a lot of things. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're provocative, and often insightful. And the crowds follow everything he says and does. And of course, he's also got that closer group of followers, his disciples. You may be aware the word disciple simply means student. And in this gospel reading, Jesus' students aren't doing too well. They followed him everywhere he went. They've seen everything that he's done, and they've heard everything that he said. But they don't really seem to get it. Now, Jesus wants to know how much of all this they've understood so far. So in the verses just before our reading, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And somehow, somewhere in Peter's brain, it kind of clicks for the minute. And he comes up with the right answer. He says, "You're the Messiah." Quite simple. Well done, Peter. Got the right answer. But you can have the right answer, and you may remember this from your school days. You can have the right answer and still not understand anything about it. And just a few verses after Peter gave Jesus this answer, he's pulling Jesus aside to tell him that he's not got it right. You know, think what you're saying here. And he begins to rebuke Jesus by saying all this stuff about the Messiah having to suffer and be rejected and killed. You know, what kind of a Messiah is that, says Peter. Jesus cuts him off. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. And then, and this is our gospel reading, he calls the crowd and the disciples together and he gives them the answer to the question as to what kind of Messiah he really is. What kind of Messiah they're following. This is what he says. "If any want to become my followers," he says, "let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it." See, Peter had an image of what the Messiah was supposed to do and who the Messiah was supposed to be. And I think we probably all have our own image about who Jesus is and what he should do. You know, everything is brilliant. Jesus is brilliant when he's healing the sick, he's preventing death, he's feeding the crowds. You understand what I mean by that? We like that Jesus. That's the Jesus we've signed up to. We want to follow that Jesus. And we're happy to proclaim that he's our Lord and Saviour. But Jesus doesn't conform to our images of who we think he is and who we want him to be. Instead, he asks us to conform to who he knows himself to be. The one who, as our reading said, must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He sets a choice before us. And it's a choice that everyone has to make. Again and again, the circumstances of our lives set that choice before us. We either choose ourselves and deny Jesus, or we deny ourselves and choose Jesus. "If anyone wants to become my follower," he says, "let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Self-denial is the beginning of discipleship. I suspect that's not what Peter had in mind when Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." I wonder if that's what we had in mind when we came here today to church, or how often we understand and practice our faith as daily self-denial. Now, you might be thinking, oh, Jesus' words, they seem a bit hard there, and it's rather extreme. You know, I'm not an extreme person. After all, wasn't the Messiah supposed to offer security, protection? Faith in Jesus, Peter is learning, isn't about eliminating the risks or preserving life and having the ability to control. Instead, Jesus asks us to risk everything, abandon our lives, and relinquish control to God. And that's what Jesus is doing here in this passage. And he expects nothing less of those who would follow him. You know, the way of Christ, self-denial, reminds us that our life isn't our own. It belongs to God. And it reminds us that we're not in control, but God is. Our life isn't about us. It's about God in our lives. And, you know, I actually believe that there is great freedom in this. Through self-denial, our falling down becomes our rising up. Losing is saving, and death is resurrection. As long as we believe our life is all about us, we'll continue to try and control others for our benefit. We'll continue to try to save ourselves, to control our circumstances, and, you know, maybe even rebuke Jesus. Jesus rarely exercised power over others and tried to control circumstances. He simply made different choices. Self-denial isn't about being out of control or powerless. It's about the choices we make. Jesus chose to give in a world that takes. He chose to love in a world that hates. He chose to heal in a world that injures. He chose to give life in a world that kills. He trusted God's abundance when others said there wasn't enough. With each choice, he denied himself and showed that God was present. You know, at some point, those kind of choices may well upset those who live and profit by power, control, and looking out for number one, because they won't deny themselves. They will respond. Jesus said they would. He knew that he would be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. And it happens in every age for those who choose the path of self-denial. When it happened for Jesus, he made one last choice. He chose resurrection over survival. If any want to become my followers, can I suggest that when you get home, you read again that gospel passage? Amen. And you can't really have a sermon on following without the hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" So our next hymn is number 558.
We come, holy.
So let's pray together. To the bidding, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Gracious God, in Jesus you know what it is to be human, and you understand the concerns and needs we all carry for ourselves and for others. Hear us as we pray to you now for help, healing, and guidance in your church and in the world. You sent your Son as a light to reveal yourself to the nations. Let that light shine through your church to all the world. Strengthen and encourage the resolve of those forced to worship in secret and those persecuted for their faith. Guide our senior church leaders and those who minister to us here in our partnership. May they know your wisdom and grace as they lead your churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, it's hard for us to comprehend the suffering of those who live in areas where there is war, terrorism, cruelty, and injustice, often brought about by greed and indifference to their suffering. We stand with our brothers and sisters and pray with them. We pray with children who are too exhausted to laugh or cry, who know little of life except hunger or waiting. We pray for those who, once strong, are now weakened with chronic ill health and hunger. We pray with those fleeing for their lives with no place to call home, remembering especially those in Ukraine, Gaza, and Israel. We pray for the many aid agencies who work to bring hope and healing to the silent poor, to bring about self-resilience, cooperation, and effective health programs. We ask for peace in those places and pray that you will raise up leaders who will be wise and work for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you've richly blessed us with gifts which together make up the body of your church. As we seek to serve you, we ask that you'll help us to do so wisely, generously, and with love. Remind us that every person we encounter is created in your image and deserves to be treated with love and respect. May we share what we have, whether a talent or something tangible, in whatever way we can, to enhance the lives of those we come into contact with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our own communities and families, whose relationships may be being tested and strained at this time, for families suffering financial hardship, for families struggling with ill health and bereavement. We pray too for those who are afraid, who feel inadequate in the face of life's daily demands and can't find a way through their darkness. God of peace, reach out and still the storm. To all of those in chaos and turmoil, all who are restless and troubled, grant your calm, your tranquility, your quietness, and your peace which passes all understanding. We pray for those who are in need of God's healing. Give to all those who are struggling or in pain the strength to face the future, a confidence in your wisdom, and the ability to draw strength from the knowledge that they are supported by your everlasting arms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now a few moments' silence to bring to God any issues which are personal to us, or just to rest in the presence of God. And so, gracious God, at the beginning of a new week, we pray that as we go about our busy lives, you will grant to us all the knowledge that your love will never fail and you will never let us go. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I think we have the offering. Father God, we thank you for all that you have given to us, and we offer you now these gifts of money and pray that you will use them to extend your kingdom here in this church and in a wider field. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now we say the grace. Is that right? Yes. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us all
evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And now a wonderful hymn to finish our worship this morning. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 3, 4, 5. May the love of Christ be active in your heart, be heard in your words, be seen in your actions, and inform your choices. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen.